Stories at townhall.com.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-504-8790. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-504-8790. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-504-8790.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Good morning. It's 10:03. I'm Maggie Hunter with the latest headlines from the WCBM Maryland News Center, brought to you by Safe Retirement Solutions. Baltimore City will begin 24-hour parking enforcement next week. Beginning Monday, transportation enforcement officers will be working night shifts to ticket illegally parked vehicles, and they may also clear abandoned vehicles from the streets. The Baltimore Department of Transportation says the overnight enforcement will focus on offenses like commercial vehicles parked in residential areas and permit violations. The Harford County Health Department says a stray cat in Edgewood tested positive for rabies. The cat was discovered near Nuttall Avenue, and it may have exposed persons and pets in the surrounding area to the virus. Anyone who came into contact with a stray cat in the area should speak with health officials and ensure they are not at risk for rabies. Pet owners should always keep their pets on a leash and make sure that they're up to date on their rabies vaccines. Stein on Sports and the exclusive WCBM Weather Channel forecast next.
WCBM News is brought to you by Safe Retirement Solutions. Call Rod Barowie at 410-266-1120. Call Rod Barowie now at Safe Retirement Solutions, 410-266-1120.
If your home is a bit dated, one of the best things you can do is renovate prior to selling. But how do you pay for it? I'm Sean Holden, owner of Renovation Real Estate. Let Renovation.Real Estate take care of everything for you. We handle the upfront costs, complete the renovations, then list your home for sale. You don't pay for renovations until closing. No gimmicks, just results. Imagine using our money to raise the value of your property without any upfront expense. Call today at 410-724-1199 or visit us at Renovation.Real Estate. We fix it, we sell it, you profit. MHIC 118-795.
Rapid Radio's our instant push to talk walkie-talkies, offering national LTE coverage and no subscriptions ever. Business owners can keep in touch with up to 200 staff members at one time. Go to rapidradios.com now for up to 60% off and free shipping.
Now, Gary Stein on sports.
Grayson Rodriguez with a right tricep strain, the latest injury to pop up on the Orioles' radar. Further tests have been ordered to determine the severity of the situation. As a frame of reference, Dean Kramer suffered a similar injury last season and was out 6 weeks. Towson men's basketball cleaned up yesterday, earning three major conference postseason awards. Tyler Tejada was voted CAA Player of the Year. Nenda Tark was voted CAA Sixth Man of the Year. And for the second time in his career, head coach Pat Scarry was named Coach of the Year. Tigers begin their quest Sunday at noon for their first NCAA tournament berth in 34 years. And finally, tomorrow afternoon will be pretty emotional in College Park. Senior Day and the final home game for Baltimore's own Julian Reese, who has become the heart and soul of Maryland men's basketball program. Here's head coach Kevin Willard saying how special it's been.
It's just been an honor to see him grow as a player, but especially as a man. And I just think, I hopefully at the Northwestern game, our fans appreciate his loyalty, his growth, and send him off the way he deserves to be sent off.
Coming up in 30 minutes, the Orioles announce their Hall of Fame class. And that is Stein on Sports.
At WCBM, we stand for freedom, hard work, and the businesses that keep our community strong. The local businesses that support WCBM share our values. They believe in you, just like you believe in America. So when you need a service, a product, or a meal out, support the businesses that support WCBM. Your dollars stay local, help hardworking Americans, and keep conservative talk radio alive. Check out our trusted sponsors at WCBM.com and tell them you heard them on WCBM, because when we stand together, We thrive together.
At 10:07, here's the exclusive WCBM Weather Channel forecast.
Big storm in the plains heads our way, but the bulk of the wet weather stays to the south of us. A sunny, breezy day today, 54. Chance of a shower tonight, then tomorrow's dry, 52 tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel. For Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
It's 44 degrees in Dundalk, 41 in Owings Mills, and 42 in Moncton. I'm Maggie Hunter, 680 WCBM News.
Stay connected and informed. Listen to Talk Radio 680 or stream us on your PC, tablet, or phone at WCBM.com. Kim Klasick Live starts now on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right. Good morning. Good morning. Happy Friday. You're just joining us. I got a treat for you. We got a live guest in studio. A friend of mine by the name of Will Hanna. Before I get to Will real quick, because I do appreciate him coming in this morning, I wanted to give you just a little bit on here on his bio, and then I'll let him fill in the rest. But Will Hanna is a decorated combat veteran and Green Beret, having served 11 years in the U.S. Army's Special Operations Command and 18th Airborne Corps. He served three combat tours, Desert Storm, Provide Comfort, and Somalia. Good morning, Will. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
How's it going?
All is well. All is going.
All is going. All
I'll
right.
say that. All is going.
I have to tell the audience here, because we're friends. Known Will. I know you for a few years now, especially when I was running out there in 2020. You've been involved in a lot. But before we get into what's going on locally, we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on nationally.
Sure.
If you could give them your background. Of course, we talked about your military service, Sarah, but also your background when it comes to the U.S. Department of Justice and the U.S. Immigration Courts.
Yes. So I started at the, when I got out after my military service. After my military service, I went to work for the U.S. Department of Justice. I worked at the, started at the Baltimore Immigration Court, and then went to the, took a promotion down to Atlanta. So we ran the Atlanta Immigration Court. We did a lot of stuff with the 11th Circuit down there. Most of the stuff here we did with the 4th Circuit. And then in San Antonio, we did stuff with the 5th Circuit. So after I left the Immigration Court, I took a promotion to the Board of Immigration Appeals. And then from there, went on to the Office of Immigration Litigation at Maine Justice. So the first case that I did for a lot of the listeners may be the Ilion Gonzalez case.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. That was, yeah, it was a high-profile case there.
Yeah.
You know what?
That was
I don't
my
know.
First case.
That was your first case. I don't even know case. If I knew how that ended. How did all that work out?
Well, let me say there's some things that I won't say on air.
Okay.
But there should have been the resolution for that case should have been a different outcome. Let me just say it should have been a different outcome. And it wasn't consistent with what federal law is, which is some of the stuff we're talking about today. But it wasn't really consistent. It was really mainly a compassionate kind of thing, kind of situation.
Yeah, real quick on the background on that, Ilion Gonzalez, how old was he?
He was, I want to say he was about six.
Six, okay, yeah, I know he was young. He was 6 years old.
Maybe 6 years old, and this is probably almost 30 years ago, 20-some years ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was young. He was a Cuban national. His family were Cuban nationals. I believe the mother was in the United States in Florida. And so they were having this thing back and forth for whether or not he should be deported, whether he should be. Well, then there was a custody issue with the parents. There was a, then there the grandparents were also involved. So there was a lot of stuff that was involved in that case, and you know, ultimately, you know, what we always say in court is that we always have to do what's in the best interest of the child. Not necessarily. I think that's more of how it sided with what was the best interest of the child versus what the law was, and so I think that's how the resolution came about.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I definitely remember that. Man, so you've been working on this for quite some time. I mean, look, Will, you know, it's no secret we see what's going on right now with the Trump administration. Mm-hmm. No secret we saw with Joe Biden's administration and the southern border wide open. A lot of people don't realize how we ended up with so many illegal immigrants here in the Baltimore region because nobody really talks about it.
Right.
We talk about New York City. We talk about Chicago. We talk about Florida. Talk about Arizona. But we don't really talk about what's going on here in Baltimore.
Yes.
If you could kind of break a little bit of this down for us, even with the immigration process and the sure. deportation process.
Sure. So every year, and I would say this, every day There are hearings that are being held at an immigration court. There are immigration courts in every state in the country. In Maryland, it's in Baltimore. It's downtown at Hopkins Plaza. In most of the cases, in most of the courts, usually have between mostly four judges. It usually depends on the population of the state. So in Baltimore, at the Baltimore Immigration Court, there are four immigration judges. At the Florida Immigration Court, there are 13. So just give you some, it depends on the need of the issue. When we set up the court in San Antonio, there were four judges in San Antonio. But of course, they always needed more. They were right down at the border, right down from Brownsville. So you look at it, there were 169 immigration judges. Was never enough, right? There were never enough immigration judges to deal with what was going on at the time, which even back in 1986 when there was a law change, and back in 1996 when there were a law change, immigration laws that were changed that allowed more people to come into the country, that every year and every so often, Congress has to approve how many people can actually come into the country. And so when they cap that number and they say, well, we're only going to allow 100,000 people, and people see these numbers, right? And they say, we're only going to allow 100,000 people into the country. That's 100,000 people from the entire world. Right. And a lot of people, there's a misnomer that most of the immigration issues that we deal with in the United States come from the southern border. They don't. There are more people. There are probably just as many people here from the African continent than are here from Central America. Okay. Probably just as many. And so you see the growth in different populations and across the country in various areas where you'll see huge Nigerian populations, yeah. Caribbean populations, Hispanic populations. But you also see people from Europe. There are a lot of people from Europe that come here. Chinese nationals that come here that can't get repatriated. And that's one thing I wanted to touch on really quick, Kim, yeah. Is that we have people that come to this country that are subject to mandatory detention. And they're subject to mandatory detention, not because they committed a crime. The crime that they committed was coming into the United States. Let's be clear about that. The crime is coming into the United States illegally. Okay. Not when you got here and you committed a crime or you got a parking ticket or a speeding ticket. The crime was coming into the country. That's the crime. You violated federal law by coming into the country illegally. That part we're clear on. Now, when certain people from certain countries come into the United States, they cannot be deported. Chinese nationals can't be deported.
Why?
Because if they get repatriated, which was called the repatriation, that means that they're getting deported and they're getting sent back to their country. Because they will get killed in their country if they go back. So we had that with Cuba. We had that with certain countries in Africa. We had that with certain countries with China and other countries, that you cannot repatriate their citizens because they will kill them. So because it became a human rights issue under UNHCR and all that stuff, became a human rights issue. So they decided to subject them to mandatory detention. Now, every state, there is what used to be called the INS, what people knew as the INS, which is now ICE. Yeah. Back in 2001, after 9/11, when 9/11 happened, they broke up the INS, broke up the Immigration Naturalization Service, and kept the immigration courts as part of DOJ, but ICE became part of what was the newly crafted Department of Homeland Security. It caused, while it was good in theory, right, nobody was going to vote against the Department of Homeland Security. No one's going to not vote for that.
Right.
Right. But what it did is it caused a splinter in the immigration process, right? So where you had the courts and the INS that were all together under DOJ. Now you added a layer of bureaucracy with the creation of the Department of Homeland Security, and it became a disconnect between the immigration courts and the now ICE. And so that's what you're seeing. You're seeing this disconnect over years fester. And because there was a disconnect, you know how they say, when the cat's away, the rifle's play? Well, if nobody's watching the hen house, then the chickens keep coming in the gate.
Okay.
Because there were no hens there to watch the gate. So that's what we're seeing. So you saw this influx of people coming through the border because there was no checks and balances. And we couldn't deport people out of the country fast enough. Okay. That's the other part when you talk about the deportation, right? There is not the capacity to deport as many people as we would like to in this country, as the president would like to in this country. There's not the capacity to do it right now. The courts are already packed with cases that they've been doing for years.
Yeah.
right? And so that is the issue. Hiring more immigration judges. People say, well, maybe we could just hire more immigration judges. Not that simple. It's not that simple to just hire. You have to someone that also knows the immigration process. Right. The people that make good immigration judges are probably some of the immigration lawyers that will make it. But that's not where we get the pool of immigration judges from, right? We get them from the normal pool where we get judges from, which is lawyers and all that. But it's not the same. If you don't have specialized people, then you have the judges that have to go through training. They have so it takes a while to be able to even if you wanted to hire, you could hire 100 immigration judges tomorrow and you wouldn't change the immigration process for another 5 years if you hired them tomorrow.
Wow.
And that is the issue. So imagine trying to deport. I mean, we deport a few million people every year anyway. We've been doing that for years.
Okay.
And I say we, but the United States has been deports people every year. Some of the highest numbers we had in deportation and people that were deported was during the Obama administration. And that's a misnomer because a lot of people didn't believe that Barack Obama, that President Obama, deported that many. He short of what's about to happen, he has the most on record
of
deportations. And second was the first Trump administration.
Oh, wow. Okay. So let me ask you this, because I know you're saying there was a situation where INS was splintered, right?
Mm-hmm.
Would it make sense to go back to what it was beforehand?
Yes, it would make a lot of sense, and it would cut down on some of the bureaucracy. And I think if you look at what's happening with DOGE and how you make government efficient, that's one thing you could do to make the if the administration's focus is on immigration, and that's a huge part of their focus.
Yeah.
Then you got to look at where we were and where we are now. The process was a little more streamlined before. Everybody sensationalized 9/11. Of course, it was what it was, but you took away the strength of the agency and the capacity of the agency to be able to handle deportations on itself. Now you have to go through the Department of Homeland Security. You got to get clearance through them. You got to make sure they don't have any other detainers. You know, now they put out an ICE detainer and all that kind of, so you can go through that whole process of what that looks like also, because that's a whole different, another conversation as to how the deportation process is initiated.
Okay.
Right. So when you look at that, and people say, you know, and a lot of people that are running around that are afraid and all of that. Well, the thing is, if you committed a crime in the United States, and a crime in the United States, it could be got a speeding ticket. But that violates your immigration status. You know, so if you're here on an ER-52 packet, or if you're here on TPS, or if you're here under asylum, or you're waiting on a waiver or something like that, when you violate your immigration status, and it can be something that simple as a speeding ticket, you are considered a criminal alien.
Okay.
And that's what they determine you as, a criminal alien.
Okay.
And, you know, everyone, when they comes into the country, they get what's called an A number. They get an alien registration number. And that alien registration number is used just like we use a Social Security number.
Okay.
So everybody that comes into the country gets an alien registration number. So even if they don't have a social, they have something they can use that is linked to the federal government that can say we can identify who you are.
Okay.
What the problem is that the police don't have access to that. So if they have an alien registration number and don't have a Social Security number and the police pull them over, they have no way to identify them. So the system should communicate. There should be a way that if the police should be able to pull you over and tell your immigration status right there. So they pull it up and the system should communicate and they can see your A registration number, and that'll allow them to be able to track if you have any criminal warrants or things like that. That's what would make the system work better.
Well, I did notice, and we're going to take a break here in just a second, but I did notice that there was a video that was going viral online, and this young man was talking about the fact that in every other country, you're supposed to have your papers with you at all times, but not here in the U.S. Is that accurate? Do you know about that?
They tell them to carry their papers with. You supposed to have a copy of your A registration number.
Okay.
Right? You get a green card. With the green card, right?
Right.
They tell you the green card, right? The green card is actually, it's an actual green card that has your A registration number, it has your country of origin, it has all of those things on it, and you're supposed to carry that around. The papers that they get that they're supposed to carry around is if they have an order or something that allows them to stay in the country. So if they get TPS, there's an order that says that. They get granted asylum, there's an order that says that. They need something from the court that says that determines their status in the country.
Okay, but we obviously don't enforce
that at all, because
it should be it should be a misdemeanor if you don't have those papers with you. That should be a misdemeanor also, because you can get charged with vagrancy if I walk around without a driver's license or without any ID, I can get charged with vagrancy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know what? Well, I'm learning a lot today. Please stay right here. If you want to call in and ask Will Hanna a question, please do. 410-WCBM-680. That is 410-922-6680. We'll be right back.
Looking for a natural way to boost energy, support your heart, and stay active as you age? It's time to try Rescue Orasine. This unique supplement gives your body the essentials it needs to fight fatigue and improve stamina without relying on sugar, caffeine, or artificial boosters. Plus, it supports healthy blood pressure and overall cardiovascular function, helping you feel your best every day. Right now, WCBM listeners can take advantage of a special buy one, get one free offer on Rescue Orasine. Just use the code MYENERGY when you order. Call 800-26-ALIVE, that is 800-262-5483, to speak with a knowledgeable product consultant. Or visit res-q.com and enter the code MYENERGY at checkout. Don't miss out. This exclusive deal won't last long. Go to res-q.com now and use the code MYENERGY. That's MYENERGY. To grab Rescue Orasine with buy one, get one free savings. Stay energized, stay heart healthy with Rescue Natural Supplements.
Hi, I'm attorney Stephen Friedman. You know, my dad was a lawyer for 20 years before starting his own practice, the law offices of Michael Friedman. And over that time, besides honing his legal skills, he learned what clients want and expect from a firm. For example, it seems many businesses today do whatever is possible to keep you from talking to a live person. At our firm, we do the exact opposite. It's a priority to assure you speak to a real person who actually knows what they're talking about. For starters, our receptionist was an insurance company claims adjuster for years, and all our staff are experienced and knowledgeable. If you call after hours or on the weekends, we have a live answering service who we've worked with for years and know exactly how to immediately get in touch with us. You won't have to wait 24 hours or for the next business day to get a call back. Normally, you'll hear from us the next hour. So if you or a loved one have been injured by any negligent act, please call the law offices of Michael Friedman, 410-363-6848 for a free consultation. And there is never a fee unless we win.
Retirement, it's almost here. Are you ready? Join Mike DePaula and Sarah Flora of Flora and DePaula Wealth Partners for SWAT, Retirement Strategy Hour. Saturday is at 2 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Investment advisory services made available through AE Wealth Management LLC, a registered investment advisor.
Red Eye Radio is live.
Gary and Eric, the way you so beautifully express your anger and frustration, you serve like a substitute relief valve for my own anger and frustration and outrage.
Gary McNamara and Eric Harley take your calls all night. Politics, breaking news, and more on Red Eye Radio.
Red Eye Radio is on every morning from 1 to 5 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right. Happy Friday. I'm getting all these text messages. Apparently, we're having a great conversation today, Will Hanna. Thank you so much for coming in studio. I got a text here real quick. It says, hey, Will, this is from Robert. Hey, Will, we were probably at Fort Bragg together at the same time. I was there in 93 to 95 as a parachute rigger, but isn't it great to have Fort Bragg back instead of Fort Liberty?
That's right. You better know it.
He says, anyway, thank you very much for your service. I hope you have an awesome day.
Tell him I said hua.
Yeah. So you're happy that now it's Fort Bragg.
Yes,
because when they changed it, there were a lot of people upset about that.
Listen, the home at 82nd can't change.
Yeah.
You can't change the home at 82nd Airborne. So, you know, we proud of that. We, you know, being at Fort Bragg, in my 11 years, I served 5.5 years at Fort Bragg and 5.5 years at Fort Drum, New York.
Okay.
You know, at the 10th Mountain Division. So, so having those names, those historic names, they mean something. You know, they mean something to military people. They might not mean something to, you know, what I call y'all civilians. They might not mean much. They may not mean much to civilians.
The little people.
But to military people, Fort Bragg is a staple. So, yeah.
No, we appreciate your service. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We've been having a great conversation here. If you're just joining us, talking about immigration and the process. And I wanted to ask you more about this because I didn't realize that we couldn't send certain people back to their home country because they will then be killed, obviously, for coming over here in the first place. And one of that being the Chinese nationalist.
Yes.
About 2 years ago, I think, is when I was watching the videos of Chinese nationalists coming over the border in the San Diego region. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting because I noticed that, of course, none of them wanted to be on camera. It was a very different vibe than when you saw some people being stopped at the southern border, whether it was in Texas and Arizona, those coming from, you know, those countries right south of the border. What are we doing right now with those Chinese nationalists and to those that cannot be sent back to, like, some of those African countries?
So the people that can't get sent back, and that's called the repatriation. When they can't be repatriated back to their country, they are subject to mandatory detention, especially if they're a criminal alien. If they're a criminal alien, that means they committed a crime inside of the United States. That's how we determine them being a criminal alien. Everybody that comes to the border illegally is a criminal, right? Technically, by federal law. But when you come into the country and if you commit a crime, then you're subject to mandatory detention. If you come into the country and you can't be repatriated, you're subject to mandatory detention. And so mandatory detention, there are immigration detention facilities in every state in the country. In Maryland, it's in Salisbury. In Virginia, it's somewhere else. And so every state has these immigration detention facilities that have been in place for the last 30 years.
Okay.
And when they can't be repatriated, they get sent to an immigration detention facility and they're subject to mandatory detention. For life.
For life.
Just because, now, in some cases it's fair, in some cases it's not. Because in some cases, some of these people's only crime was wanting to come to the United States to have a better life. But because they can't get sent back, they can't get deported, or they may have violated status, they had TPS or whatever, or they just came in illegally, but because their crime was they came into the United States and they can't get sent back home, they're in jail for the rest of their lives. Some people that come across the border and, you know, they come, they want to make a better life. There's some people that do it the right way, which means you go and you do an EOIR 42 packet, which EOIR stands for the Executive Office of Immigration Review. So people will see a lot of those things. When they see it on a pack, they'll see it on a form. They'll say EOIR. The Executive Office of Immigration Review is where I worked for the bulk of my time at DOJ.
Okay.
And so there's a way to do it. If you're working, if you're in the country and you're working, even if you're in the country illegal and you're working and you're paying your taxes and you're doing all these things, you're doing all the stuff that we do, right? Then there is a path to citizenship that already exists that doesn't need an executive order. It doesn't need approval by Congress. It's already in place. It's been in place since 1986.
Wow. All right, we got a heartbreak coming up here, yep. Will. But, you know, just listening to this, these facilities in every state, we, the taxpayer, are obviously still paying that bill as well. And I can imagine it's probably in the billions of dollars at this point if they've been there for 30 years.
The facilities have been there longer than that.
Okay.
The legislation went in place in 1986, and then it was changed again in 1996.
Wow.
So you have all of these facilities all across the country that we're paying and maintaining, all these to keep people in, and that price is only going to go up. The more people we capture, the more people deport.
All right. Well, Will Hanna, hopefully you can stay with us just a little bit longer because we're going to talk more about immigration. And I do want to ask you some questions here about Park Heights. You got questions coming in the text line as well. Thank you so much. This has been a great conversation so far. Will Hanna, more with him next.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. President Trump says he wants DOGE to be very precise when it comes to government employee layoffs. Quoting the president, use a scalpel rather than a hatchet in making the job cuts. Speaking of jobs, the government is out with a February employment report this morning. America's employers added 151,000 jobs last month, the unemployment rate ticking up just a tenth of a percent, hitting 4.1% last month. President Trump has sent a letter to the Supreme Leader of Iran. Mr. Trump says the letter suggests negotiations aimed at achieving a new nuclear deal. President putting a 25% tariff for Canadian and Mexican imports on hold for 1 month. The delay follows a stock market sell-off, although the president says it is not about what's happening in the financial markets. And right now, on Wall Street, the Dow is up a fraction. This is SRN News.
Hey, attention, Maryland business owners. Did you know that you've been paying into a program that can upgrade your lighting for free? Now, it's called Empower Maryland, and if you don't use it, you lose it. Now, every month, your electric bill includes a small charge that funds energy-saving upgrades, and now you can claim your share to replace any bulb or fixture with new energy-efficient LED fixtures at zero cost to you. Here's how it works. If we can reduce your energy use by 30% or more, you qualify for a 100% free lighting upgrade, whether you own an office, a church, or even a government building. And these LEDs, they last up to 20 years. Now, last year alone, we completed 424 projects, saving Maryland businesses thousands of dollars. So don't miss out. Call now, 855-4-FREE-LED. Call now, 855-4-FREE-LED. No job is too big or too small. Call now. Start saving today.
Now, Gary Stein on sports.
It'll be the O's and Tigers in Lakeland, Florida tonight. Dean Kramer taking the hill at 6:05, one night after Zach Eflin got cuffed around by the Pirates in a 9-5 loss. Orioles also announcing right-hander Grayson Rodriguez will undergo further evaluation for a right tricep strain. His velocity noticeably diminished in his start on Wednesday. Orioles also announcing their 2025 Hall of Fame class. It includes the great Adam Jones, humbled by the honor.
Pretty humbling, pretty cool. Obviously still in the process, but I mean, that's pretty bad to be into professional organizations Hall of Fame, one that has such prestige as the Orioles does. And obviously down here, we have T-Bone here, you got Cal here, Bumber here, some guys who are very formidable in the Orioles organization.
Joining Jones will be Joe Orsolak and five-time Maryland broadcaster of the year, Tom Davis. Speaking of Orsolak, how about this clip from the memorable 1989 Why Not season? John Miller narrating.
And with two men on, Frank Robinson asked Joe Orsolak to pinch hit.
Now the fans are really getting into it here at the stadium as a right-hander comes to the belt. There's the pitch. There's a shot at fair ball. This ball is heading down the right field line and heading for the corner. Worthington around to score. Finley comes in to score. The ball gets away from Armas. Orsolak is on his way to third. Here's the throw. Too late. Orsolak slides in with a triple. He drives in two runs to make it a 7-6 ball game.
Joe Angel with the call, and that was the game where the Orioles came back to win 11-9 on a Mike Devereaux walk-off home run. Oriole fans will remember that in the bottom of the ninth. Coming up in 30 minutes, did someone say Alex Ovechkin is a one-trick pony? And that is Stein on Sports.
Want the truth about investing in retirement? The stuff Wall Street does not want to tell you? What if there were a strategy to capture significant market gains without the risk of traditional markets? Interested? Bill O'Reilly here. Would you like a retirement strategy that allows you to retire with confidence without the fear of running out of money? Then please talk to Rod Barowie and the Safe Retirement Solutions team. 410-266-1120. 410-266-1120.
This is the time of year we're ready to get outside, enjoy some sunshine, some fresh air. And you can do it this weekend because there's hardly a drop of rain in the forecast. No rain today. We'll turn out sunny. It is breezy. And the temperatures are cool, but this is typical March, 54 this afternoon. You might see a shower or two tonight. Then tomorrow's dry, 52, 58 Sunday. I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel. For Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Rapid radios are instant push-to-talk walkie-talkies, offering national LTE coverage and no subscription ever. Business owners can now keep in touch with up to 200 staff members at one time. Go to rapidradios.com now for up to 60% off and free shipping.
Kyle started Blindster in 2010 to make quality custom-made blinds affordable to everyone. Traditional window covering retailers are expensive. Our prices are low and our blinds are guaranteed to fit. Blindster.com.
The Morning Drive with Casey and Elliot.
There are men and there are women. There's an XX chromosome, a woman, and an XY chromosome, a man. That's it. And anything else, they are mutations.
You have a very, very slight chance.
That's it. That's it. You can feel like anything else you want. You can claim that you're anything else you want, but that's it.
The Morning Drive, 6 to 9, with Casey and Elliot on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right. Back in studio with Will Hanna. He is our immigration expert here. I've learned so much today. Will, first of all, thanks again for being in studio. Thank you for spending a lot of time. And, of course, Absolutely. Thank you for your service. Speaking of your service, I got a text here from Marty. He says, what was Will's MOS? And also he said, thank you for your service as well.
So my MOS, I had a few of them. I was a 96 Bravo, was an intel analyst. I was a 37 Fox, was a psychological operations specialist. I was a 38 Alpha, was a civil affairs specialist. What else? I was at 94, 90, 92 Alpha. So did the logistics specialist and forgot the other one. I had other designations, had my airborne designation and all of that stuff.
Oh,
so
wow.
Airborne, air assault, special ops, special forces, all of that. So I did all of that stuff.
Well, thank you so much. We appreciate it. You know, during the commercial break here, you and I were talking a bit about the Canadian border. And this is something that we don't always see in the media because really a lot of our reporters that handle this immigration story, they're all at the southern border. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about what's going on at the northern border. Because we see the fight between Trump and Justin Trudeau. And we heard from Trump, he said, I'm going to put more tariffs on Canada unless they get something done with the border. And a lot of people were like, oh, come on, Trump, that's just too much. But you're telling me that the northern border is just as frequented as the southern border. Is that correct?
If not more. So when you look at the northern border, and you can go back to just the border patrol numbers, right? How many border patrol agents there are? There were 3,000 at the Mexican border. There were 300 at the Canadian border. So that means there was one agent for every 10 miles of crossing at the northern border, one for every 1 mile at the southern border. So if you go back to 9/11, during 9/11, the terrorists that came through, came into the United States, came through the Canadian border. They didn't come through the southern border. They came through the Connecticut border. So Zacharias Moussaoui and all and the whole group of them that led those attacks came through the northern border.
They
came
through the Canadian border. These are the guys that were flying the planes.
These are guys that Zacharias Moussaoui was a guy that actually led led that mission to fly the planes into the towers. He was actually in the immigration court system 4 times. He had been deported 4 times. He got deported out of Miami twice, once out of Atlanta. Well, I think it was once out of Atlanta and 3 times out of the Florida court, out of Miami. And every time he was deported, came right back into the country. That is the problem, is they can't stop people from coming back into the country. So when you look at cities like Baltimore, that is a port city, right? And we hear all these stories all the time how they find people in these containers and all this kind of stuff and people that were trying to get into the country. Port cities have the largest, we have an airport here. The airport, between the airport and the port and all the other ways to get into Maryland. And because it's so close, our proximity to D.C.
Yeah.
That's why we have such a huge immigration problem in the state of Maryland. The leadership of the state, what they have never done is looked at the immigration process here. And I say this to anyone that leads their state, any governor, anyone should look at what's going on with the immigration in their state, because there are things that you're paying for that you probably shouldn't.
Okay.
Right? You're paying for education. You're paying for health care. You're paying for all these things. You're paying for public schools. You're paying for all of these things. In some cases, those numbers don't even get reflected back to the district itself. If you're paying for these people, you know, certain group to go to school, right, those numbers don't necessarily count to your numbers because they're not even registered in the system. They're just going to school.
Okay.
So that same number that we pay in Baltimore, that's 16, 17, 18, 20,000 per student, they're not even getting counted in a lot of those numbers. So we're paying for it. Taxpayers are paying for it only on the basis of these are the people that are in school. But do we also have an obligation? Because there's a flip side to it, right? We have an obligation as who we are as Americans to educate and train all of our people,
yeah,
whether they are people or not. We have an obligation to do that. And so you have people that are on both sides of the issue, whether you're on the red side of it or the blue side of it, you know, of what that immigration process is and looks like and who should be paying for what. Because if we're paying for people that are outside of the state, that come to this country from outside of the state, then the federal government should either pay for them for their services here or deport them.
Okay. Well, I know we talked about this just a little bit, because every jurisdiction in Maryland handles this differently,
yes,
which I have a problem with. I think everybody within the state should be unified on how they handle illegal immigration. But running in the second district this time around, and knowing that my opponent at that time, Baltimore County Executive Johnny Olszewski, they weren't actually honoring the detainer request from the judges. First and foremost, is that not a crime? That's my question to you. And then secondly, what can we do moving forward? Because we hear from the ICE director, Michael Elliston.
Yeah. Matt Elliston.
Matt Elliston.
Good
thank
guy.
You.
Great guy.
Yeah, we hear from him all the time, but it sounds like this is a total headache
it is.
For ICE altogether.
it's a headache across the board, right? So when you have jurisdictions and say Baltimore County is going to do something different than Baltimore City, and Montgomery County is going to do something different than PG County, and Anne Arundel is going to do something different than Hartford. There is no universal. That's where leadership comes in. And you have to have a leader that's going to say, this is the immigration policy for the state of Maryland. And short of that, the jurisdictions are going to be allowed to do that. Until the governor or any governor will come back and say, this is what needs to happen. This is the immigration policy for the state of Maryland. You follow it or you are violating state law on top of violating federal law. Until that happens, you're going to have where these jurisdictions are different, and you're going to have people that will go to the jurisdictions where they find the most where they find the most peace or where they can get away with the most stuff.
Right.
So you have a huge influx of migrants to Anne Arundel County. You had a huge influx of migrants to Baltimore County. They left Baltimore City. You can tell where they are in Baltimore City. Just go down Broadway. You can go down anywhere in Baltimore. You can tell where the migrant communities are. You go to Northwest Baltimore, you know where they are. You go to Southeast Baltimore, you know where they are. And these are just the migrant ones you can see.
Yeah.
But if every jurisdiction has a different policy, it doesn't make it good for anybody. That makes the job harder for ICE. It makes a hard job harder for the local police in these different jurisdictions. Because the borders are invisible, right?
Yeah.
Criminals don't see borders. Criminals don't see borders. So if you go from, if you're going up Woodlawn Drive and you go, and now you go from the city side into the county, well, who has jurisdiction at that point? Does the federal government have jurisdiction? Because now you cross. Does the state police have jurisdiction? And then that's a whole nother thing. Where is the state police in this equation, right? That's where the lack of leadership is, I believe. And I don't know if Matt would agree with that. Matt Ellis, I don't know if he would agree to that. But there is a huge vacuum and lack of leadership in how you handle the immigration process in the state of Maryland. It should be a universal from the state. And there should be state troopers that have different assignments to say, you know what? We can't just allow this. The state has to step in and say, we cannot allow all these. The same way that the federal government would step in if it was states.
Yeah.
If these were individual states that had these different, the federal government would step in, there would be some court order that would say these states now are governed under this policy. And that's not what's happening in the state of Maryland.
All right. Because of course, there's lots of questions. And I know even when it comes to our AG, Anthony Brown, they seem to want to take this, you know, an leniency kind of approach where they're just fine with illegal immigrants doing whatever the hell they want, really. And that's how I felt about even the former county executive, Johnny O, and others. And, you know, you mentioned the fact that we're paying for them when it comes to even for the schools and for whether it's Medicaid or anything else with the healthcare system. This seems like a large portion of our budget, yet we're facing a $3 billion deficit at this point. You know, just from your experience, how much do you think that illegal immigration is weighing on our state budget?
Well, I mean, it's definitely going to weigh into the budget. When you look at what we're looking to do for schools, school funding, it's you know, the uncertainty of where we're looking at the blueprint. Those numbers are impacted in that, even if it's 10 to 15% of that. If we're paying 10 to 15% outside of the budget, we're in a $6 billion hole, right? We had a $3 billion surplus when Hogan was the governor.
Yeah.
And when you go from a $3 billion surplus, if my math's correct, I did go to Baltimore City Public Schools. So if you go from a $3 billion surplus to a $3 billion deficit, that's $6 billion. That's not three, it's six.
Yeah, yeah. Right? And so that's what the senators have been telling us, like Senator Justin Reedy.
It's a $6 billion hole that we got into in 2 years.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
We've only had this governor for 2 years, going into third, I believe, right?
Yeah.
So 2 years, you erased a $3 billion surplus to a $6 billion deficit, and what did we pay for? What did we get for?
That's always been the question, because I don't know.
You know, and I can have those conversations all day about how we send money to all these different places. And just from doing work in community, I've been working in Park Heights for the last 25 years. And so when you see money come into your neighborhood and your community, but you don't see your people benefiting from it, it raises questions. But then when you ask those questions, it don't make you friends.
Yeah. Oh, trust me, I know. I don't think I have. You're my friend. I might have like five friends in the Baltimore region. I don't have
a whole lot of friends that work down at City Hall. I will tell you that right now. I don't. I never have.
Yeah.
And I'm not looking to get any new friends. I'm good.
Yeah.
Right? And so it's not about developing friendships. It's about having people just do their damn job.
Right.
Just do your job. You ain't got to be my friend to do your job.
No. Right. Exactly.
You ain't got to like me to do your job.
Right.
You know, so that's, that you know, if we're going to keep it 100, right? We can keep it 100 on Kim Klasick's show.
Yeah, oh, yeah. WCBN.
Keep it 100 on Kim Klasick's show.
Yeah.
You know, so if I need you to do your job, I don't care if you're the mayor, I don't care if you're the comptroller, I don't care if you're a council person, whatever you are. I don't care if you're on the state central committee, I don't care if you're a senator, a delegate. Do your job. That's all the people of this state expect you to do. It's just do your job.
Yeah.
When you don't do your job and we start asking questions and we can't get answers, then we realize you ain't doing your job.
Right.
So if you ain't doing your job, we're going to put somebody else in there to do it for you. And that has to be the message. Baltimore has a bunch of politicians. I'd say Maryland. A bunch of politicians that have been in office 20 years, 15 years, 10 years, doing what?
Yeah, that's a good question. Before we get into this more local issue,
we need Doge. Doge is the city council.
Before we get more into the local issues, I do have a caller here. Let's see, Tim in Baltimore. Tim, did you want to talk about the responsibility when it comes to immigration?
Well, basically, all I heard from the gentleman was states this and states that. States do not set the immigration policy or
right.
the laws of it is governed by the federal government through
Absolutely.
The executive branch. And I don't care who the governor is, Abbott, Moore, DeSantis, Pritzker, doesn't matter what they want. Basically, they're in violation of federal law.
Absolutely.
They are subject to investigation and prosecution, full stop.
And you're absolutely correct.
Yeah, no,
you're absolutely correct.
Yeah, Tim. So you're saying what I think a lot of people are saying. You want to see the federal law step in and hold these elected officials accountable?
Absolutely. If you want to stop them, just stop the money. That gets their attention.
There you go. I have to echo that sentiment because it's been too long, you know, and we've been doing this for at least 20 years. At least 20.
Closer to 30.
Yeah, right. I'm going to say, I'll say 20. I'm saying 20, just give it a nice round number, see where I'm going, right? If we've been doing this for 20 years, doing the same thing over and this has been Republican, Democrat administrations, don't matter. They've violated federal law. If you do not enforce the law, you're breaking the law. And so when you look at it from a public safety perspective, right? How do you embolden your police to be able to say, hey, we can go out and do that? Well, you can't do it because your mayor or your county executive is now not following suit with what federal law said. And so
correct.
If the law says that if you come into this country illegal, you are subject to deportation, that's what the law is. If the law says you come to this country illegal, you're subject to mandatory detention, that's what the law says. If the law says that you as a state have to adhere to federal law, that's what the law says. That's not us saying.
That's federalism.
Yeah.
That's federalism.
Well, Tim, thank you so much for the call. I hope you have a great weekend. Great point there.
You too.
Thank you. Wow. So I guess the next thing we got to talk about is when, you know, we're supporting your run for office here, Will. I don't know.
Jeez.
I don't know what you're waiting for. What are we doing here?
I will tell you this, and I will say this on the Kim Klasick Show, that if I ever make a decision to ever run for anything, you will get the exclusive. You'll be the first person.
Thank you. I think you would have a lot of support. I mean, look, you're in the community, obviously, you know, and I listening to you and I'm, you know, for a long time, I don't know if you're Republican, Democrat or independent, but I don't think it even matters.
It doesn't matter.
Because
right?
you have nothing but common sense and you understand the issues. And when we get back, I do want to ask you a little bit about what's been going on in Park Heights, if that's okay with
sure,
you.
Absolutely.
I got a question in the text line about Pimlico, if that's okay.
Sure.
Because, you know, to be honest with you, we need more people like you with the microphone and a little less people like, you know, some of these activists that are, you know, and like all this coddling of the kids and the coddling of the criminals. I can't take it anymore. It's like, you know, nobody's off limits. There used to be a time where they wouldn't shoot kids or they wouldn't shoot women or they wouldn't carjack older women at gunpoint. There's no longer any boundaries.
Well, that's because they never got to the root of the problem. And so us working in community, we understand what happened. We know what happened 20 years ago when y'all closed the rec centers, right? So now you're blaming these kids for not being the children you wanted them to be, but you took away what they needed to be when they were young. So now when these kids, 20 years ago, think about it, 20 years ago, 2005, 2006, let's go up to around 2010, because that's when a lot of the rec centers were closed by then Mayor Sheila Dixon and then Stephanie Rawlins Blake followed it up. 26 recreation centers were closed in Baltimore City. 26. Remember that number, right? That number is important because 26 Baltimore City public schools also had to be closed. Remember the $1 billion we supposed to got in school construction, the $1 billion, $1.5 billion school construction money? Right. That was contingent. If you read the fiscal note on it, right, there's a fiscal note at the bottom of it that no elected official read that said, we have, you also are mandated to close 26 Baltimore City public schools. Now, this was back in 2010. What's happening now? Yeah. That we could close all of these schools, we merged all these kids together, and then you had problems in the schools because you didn't take care of what was happening in the community. These kids were fighting in community before they got merged into the same school.
Yeah. Yeah. Hold that thought right there, Will Head, and we'll be right back.
The Maryland Home and Gardening Craft Show, presented by Maryland Heating and Air. March 1st and 2nd and 7th through 9th at the Timonium Fairgrounds, Cow Palace, and Exhibition Hall. Find great deals, new ideas, and practical advice with more than 400 trusted local experts. Save on tickets at mdhomeandgarden.com.
If better health, more energy, and detoxifying your body are some of your priorities this year, get Active Liver today. You can find Active Liver in stores at your local CVS or online at Amazon or newnordicusa.com.
This is Danny Manoff from Intrepid Paralegal Solutions, LLC. Join us on Saturday at 1 o'clock for Justice and Why It Matters to You, our new show to help individuals understand how the legal system works. Look forward to seeing you there.
Hey everybody, Charlie Kirk here. Insightful news, commentary, the best guests you can imagine. And also, we are diving deep into the issues that matter, the philosophy that is guiding the left, what you can do about it so we can fight to win. So join us every single day where we talk about why the Constitution is the greatest political document ever written, why America is the greatest nation ever to exist, and what the citizen can do to rise against the regime.
The Charlie Kirk Show, starting March 17th at 7 on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County. Hear the news, then talk about it at the top and bottom of every hour throughout the day. Breaking news, stimulating talk, only on Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County.
All right, we'll jump right in here because we're running out of time. This has been a great day so far. Will Hanna, thank you so much for coming live in studio with us. Learning a lot today. No, absolutely. Hopefully you'll come back. We'll have you back again.
Anytime.
Yeah, no, I wanted to ask you because we were talking about, obviously, immigration. And I wanted to ask you because we got a question here about Park Heights. Before I get into the question, real quick, how does Park Heights look these days? Because I know there was a lot of money that went into Park Heights area.
Park Heights looks different, but it feels the same.
Okay.
Right? It looks different, but it feels the same. So... And I say this about any community, any neighborhood, that we can build a whole bunch of shiny buildings all we want, but if we don't take care of the people and we don't do anything for the people, it means nothing. So you're not going to change communities by just building buildings. You have to change communities by changing people and getting those people that can actually afford to live in those communities to live in those brand new buildings. That's what's not happening.
Okay, so there is still a disconnect. I have a text here from Marty. He says, would Will have preferred using Pimlico into an urban farm, expanding medical services at Sinai? I believe this option would provide fresh food in a food desert, medical services in a medical desert, and jobs in an area with high unemployment rate. I personally prefer this than a facility that would host one weekend of racing a year and an occasional event. What's your thoughts on Pimlico?
So I was in the minority with Pimlico.
Okay.
I was in a minority with Pimlico. With Pimlico, when they were talking about, you know, the Preakness going to move to Laurel and all those things, I was in a minority. I said, let it go. Because it wouldn't have had an economic impact to the city because Laurel's only 20 minutes down the street. People still would have booked their hotels here. They still would have came here and ate at the restaurants. They still would have came down to the water, down to the harbor. They would have done all of those things, even if it was in Laurel. So in the Park Heights master plan, the Pimlico racetrack, if you look at it from 2006, if you look at it, it's a PUD site. Right? Means that it was going to be open for development. That was what the community voted for. We did the Park Heights master plan back in 2005. And we said that if the racetrack can't stay, let it go and let it go wherever it's going to go. And we can use this site to do further development in Park Heights. Then Sinai Hospital bought off a part of it. And then the rest of it, now the state owns it. And there's supposedly this 10% of annual revenue every year that's going to go back to the Park Heights community. Well, before you do that, before you say this is the money that's going to go back to the community, let's look at the money that was supposed to come to the community before, right? We had what was called the Racetrack Impact Fund. The Racetrack Impact Fund was in place from 1976 all the way up to 2013. And it's still in place now. So when you look at that money, that was almost $500,000 a year.
Okay.
Right? Look at Park Heights and tell me if it's benefited from $500,000 a year in Racetrack Impact Funds. I'll wait. And then in 2007, when the slots bill passed, Senate Bill 3 was passed in 2007, we leveraged the Pimlico Racetrack in order to be able to get funding for Park Heights.
Okay.
So that's how you see slots money come to Park Heights, but there's no slot machines in Park Heights. Right? But we still get money in Park Heights slots, almost to a tune of $6 to $8 million a year. Now, we started getting this money back in 2010. So now we're $80 million into getting slots money in Park Heights. And if somebody can tell me where $80 million has been spent or built anywhere in Park Heights, I'll wait.
Yeah.
Right? There are some things that are happening, but most of that stuff that they'll show you is done with private equity money or some other city money or other housing money. The money that comes in for Park Heights is housed at an account at housing.
Yeah.
Figure that. Why would slots money go to an account at housing and circumvents the comptroller's office?
It's all very questionable activity, as always.
But I love Park Heights. You know, yeah. Park Heights, we're doing some great things. We're doing some great things are happening in Park Heights.
Yeah, I got about a minute if you want to go ahead and tell them about your football.
Yes. So Baltimore does have a new pro football team. It's the Baltimore Lightning. And we're excited. You'll see a lot of talent that'll come from these guys that are all over, that come from all over the country. We got guys that are the same guys as the Ravens. We got the same guys. So we started playing this season. This year, June 7th is the first game at Morgan State University, where we'll play against the Michigan Bills, Baltimore Lightning versus Michigan. I know there's some Ravens fans that want some Bills revenge, so we're going to get that for them. It's just the Michigan Bills, not the Buffalo Bills. But June 7th at Morgan State University, if they want more information, they can go to our website, lightningfootball.net, or they can Google us, Baltimore Lightning Football.
Well, Hannah, I appreciate your time today. We're going to have you back on before June 7th so you can even tell us again about this. But I really do appreciate it. And we need to continue to talk about immigration because I think it's a serious problem.
Absolutely.
And then also the community, right? We do have problems with the juvenile crime. So, Will, Hannah, thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate you.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Kim. And look forward to any time you want me back, I'll be here.
Thank you so much. When we get back, we'll talk about daylight savings time and what President Trump plans to do about it.
There she is, founder.